night. Well, praise God. We've already had a glorious time.
Yes.
Wow. So I just wanted to share just a testimony that came out of the healing rooms. All right?
Yeah, please do. That's...
We had a family of missionaries come. They actually were on the missions field for about 8 years and decided to come back and have a family. And they've had 3 kids. Well, their smallest kid is 2 years old, and their plan was to get him just old enough so that they felt safe to go back to the mission field. But the son had lots of allergies and stomach problems and things, so severe sometimes that he would wind up in the hospital. She had some physical issues. The mom and the father also had some physical issues. So they all came and got prayed for, and every one of them got healed. So the son is completely free, so then they're free to go and do their God destiny, you know? Isn't that amazing? So we're hoping to try to get their testimony on video, or at least on tape or something, to be able to share. So, wow, praise God. So this is the lady was when she had some shoulder problems, and this is the one I had testified that we prayed for, and we rebuked the pain and told it to go in Jesus' name, and she said she felt the pain leap out of her shoulder, run down her arm, and leap off her and ran away. So we were like, something was happening.
Love it.
She just had this surprised look on her face like... So praise God, you know? All those promises are yes and amen in Jesus. You know, we didn't deserve it all. Jesus received it all because he deserved it all. And you know what he did? He gave it all to us because he loves us. That's amazing. So that's a wonderful word. So our lesson tonight is developing transparency in your emotions. So this is another ongoing teaching from Pastor Dave. And so I'm going to do the best I can in the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, to share, and I believe we'll get something out of it, because, well, the Holy Spirit's here, we always will, you know. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit. I thank you that it is living and powerful. And, Lord, I thank you that it will change, it will shape, it will change our lives forever. Because that's what your power, the power of your word does. Help us to see and to understand what you're trying to say today. Help me to deliver in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to start out in Jeremiah 48:11. It says, Moab has been at ease from his youth. He has settled on his dregs and has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remained in him, and his scent has not changed. Well, what's this mean? This means this guy's had it easy. You know, he's never really been through too many difficult times, you know. He's kind of set in his ways, and you know what? He has no heart for anybody else, or no understanding for anybody else, you know. He may look at somebody else, and they may be in want, but he's like, what's that got to do with me?
Yeah, really.
Right? And you know what? Well, if we're in that state, if we can't relate, if we can't have compassion because we're in this state, then we're not usable. You know? If we cannot, from a heart of compassion, look to someone and say, you have a need and I'm going to show you compassion, then it's hard for God to use us.
Right.
So we need to be as far away from this type of person as we possibly can be, you know? I'm pretty sure no one has actually been raised in this state, that he has just been so well protected and in every way that it's just that's for everybody else. He doesn't understand any of this, not for him, you know. So, number one, we must be free in our emotional life. So the feeling is free. We must be able to express the personality, is the next filling in, personality of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Spirit in our emotions. So Romans 12 and 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So when we come in and praise God, this church does this actually pretty wonderfully. We're going around and we're poking at people and seeing where they are. You know, if they're happy, you know, all of a sudden you're laughing and you're rejoicing with them, you know, and you're glorifying and thanking God. And, you know, if someone's a little weepy, then we poke them and go, oh, yeah, you're a little weepy. And then, you know what, we hug them and we love on them and we weep with them. We have compassion on them. You know, that's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
You know, that's Christ in you, you know, working out to rejoice and also to pray with and weep with those, you know. And you know what? I haven't been in there very many churches that are even close to this. So you guys get kudos because I see it. I see this in you guys, every one of you. You know, you all show love, compassion, you know, and it's a beautiful thing to see, you know. When people walk in, they can tell, you know. They know if you're fake or not. It doesn't take very long to figure out if someone's fake nice, you know. Like those girls in high school, you know, that I they were fake nice. You turn your back and men, they were saying some really mean things, you know, not so nice things. So anyway, yeah, so anyway. That's just my experience when I was in high school. I finally found a girl that was actually, you know, because Jesus was in her and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was like, there's something different about this girl.
Yeah.
She's real nice. So, and that's what Jesus does in us, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So let's read John 11 and 35. Jesus wept. You know, a lot of times we're like, well, oh, we have to, you know, control our emotions. And emotions can get away from you. But they also are a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, there can be a very good thing. And Jesus showed his emotions.
Yes, he did.
Right? He had more joy than all his fellows. He was a joyous man.
Yes, he was.
Right? I know he loved to laugh and joke and kid and probably pull all kinds of pranks on John and Peter and James. He loved to pick on them, I bet, you know. You know, when he had people that he loved were hurting, he cried.
That's right.
You know, when he saw that the people were taking advantage, all the religious people were taking advantage of God, especially, you know, selling stuff in the temple, you know, money changers and stuff like that, he got mad.
Yeah, he did.
Right? Jesus mad? Yeah, he was mad. Mm-hmm. He's like, this, you know, you guys have made my father's house a den of thieves.
Yeah.
He reacted emotionally, but you know, it was a righteous anger.
That's right.
And a lot of times as Christians, we're like, oh, we can't do that. We've got to be meek and mild. Well, we're supposed to be like Jesus,
like
right? So sometimes we have to get out there and we're going to have to go, no, this is wrong,
yeah.
You know, and be mad about it. It's okay to be mad about it.
That's right.
If it's righteous,
yeah.
If you have righteous standing, you know? So we need to be ready to rejoice with those who rejoice. We need to weep with those who weep, you know. And if righteous anger needs to rile up in us, then by golly, we need to let it rile up.
Sure.
You know, a lot of times we will let, because we hold it back, we allow ourselves to be complacent when God wants us to act.
Sure.
Jesus acted. What? He made a whip? Jesus did that?
Yeah.
Yeah, my gosh. You know, he'd made something that would cause some pain.
Yeah.
He wanted to get people's attention. So sometimes we have to act, you know. And, well, his emotions got him up and doing that, you know. Let's see. I've got a couple of scriptures, if you don't mind writing down. Isaiah 53:3. And this is talking about Jesus. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. You know, we started off with a guy that had everything going for him and really didn't care about anybody else, you know. Now, Jesus was a word with God from the beginning, right? Set in heaven, worshipped and adored, had all power, all authority, and all these things. How could he relate to us? How could he have compassion on us, you know? Well, he became a man.
Yeah.
Right? And he experienced rejection. He was despised. Can you imagine him growing up with his brothers and sisters and he was the goody two shoes, you know? Because that's how I would see it. I would see him. I'm like, this guy's, who does he think he is? He's just goody two shoes, you know? Everybody looked at him as just a man, you know? Oh, he's just a man. He's, you know, his brothers and sisters are here with us here in the, you know, in the village and stuff like that. He's just like any other man. But it says he in every way was acquainted with the things that we deal with, he dealt with too.
That's right.
Because of that, he can have compassion for us. He can relate to us. When we're going through our pains and our sorrows, he, from his heart, a genuine heart, feels for us.
Yes.
He looks at you, and when you have your heart breaking, his heart breaks too. But he knows he's your answer also if you'll just look to him. But he's not going to go, you know, will you ever get it? Will you ever get past this point? Come on. No, he's going to be there rooting for you, crying with you, weeping with you, rejoicing with you when you have your triumphs and stuff. But he could feel everything you feel.
That's right.
Because he loves you and he sees your heart. And he looks so deep inside of you and he knows exactly what you're feeling and he understands. That's our Jesus, you know? So Hebrews 5:2. And this is another scripture. Sorry, that wasn't written down. Said he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. This is talking about, it doesn't sound like it'd be talking about, but it's talking about Jesus. You know, he became a man in weakness. He went from glory to a man in just complete weakness. He can have compassion on us in our weaknesses. You know, so he understands. It's not like he can't understand. He actually understands. Mm-hmm. And when you're going through pains and sorrows and tribulations and whatever else comes our way, from his heart, he can have compassion on us. He knows that the things that we're dealing with. That's our Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? Let's see. Number two. So how did God deal with Jeremiah to change him into an effective vessel? So at first, Jeremiah was full of excuses. Jeremiah 1:6. Then said I, "Oh, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth." You know, my dad said something, and he didn't say it this way. He goes, "Everyone, or excuses are like buttholes, and everyone has one, and most of them stink." I says, my dad was, he's not a Christian, of course, but he had a lot of these sayings. And he says, wait a minute, let me think about this, because now I'm a little bit embarrassed for even saying it. But he goes, excuses are like buttholes. Everyone has one, and they all stink. So I know that's really driving the point home. You know, and you know, a lot of times Moses had an excuse. I can't talk, Lord. You know, he only had 40 years of training, you know, at the universities in Egypt, you know, and all, and how to be a you know, a general and all that stuff, but I can't go and talk, you know. He had an excuse. My God already had the answers. Well, I'm sending Aaron. He'll talk for you since you're saying you can't talk. I said, well, God, I'm not smart enough, you know. I'm not smart like Pastor Dave, you know. I can't remember all these things that he can remember and everything. You know, this was my excuse. When I first started, I could hardly talk. I would actually stutter. So I remember the first time I got up just to give a testimony in church. I was so nervous. I grabbed the pew in front of me, and I was trying to give my testimony. I was stuttering so bad, and the pastor just looked at me and said, "Brother, it's okay. We're all family. Just take a deep breath. You can get it out." Believe it or not, I could hardly speak. And look at me now. But look at Moses, too. Eventually, Aaron didn't have to speak for him. He was able to go out and speak. A lot of times if we just start going the way God wants us to go and I stop making those excuses, you know, then we'll figure out, oh, wow, God will actually do what he said he'll do.
That's right.
You know? Maybe if we were alone having to do something, then yes, we might have a reason to have an excuse. But you know, with God, he can do all things through us if we just allow him to, just choose to. So he was really saying, I don't think I am convincing enough. You know, I'm too young. Who's going to listen to me? He could not just speak for God, but feel. He could not just speak for God, but feel with God the emotions necessary for turning the people back to the Lord. So what this is saying to me is, I give a situation with my brother and my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law is very much opposed to everything we believe, right? Even though she goes to a Baptist church, but it's a very liberal Baptist church. So anytime we'd start going into a subject that got a little touchy, then I would just kind of just be quiet, you know, and not say too much. But eventually I figured out that did a lot of harm. I should have spoke the truth in love. If I really loved, then I would have spoke even though it would have made me uncomfortable.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Okay? I know there's situations that you guys go into with friends and family, and you're like, well, I don't want to say anything because it's just going to, they're going to get offended, you know? But if we truly loved and had compassion for them to be able to ever see the truth and understand the truth, we have to be willing to put ourselves in, you know, in situations where we might be a little bit uncomfortable, you know? And I actually, at one point, just apologized to both my brother and my sister-in-law. And I said, you know what, all these times, I just kind of sat back to try to keep things to peace, you know? It's because I didn't love you enough. And I said, I'm sorry. Right? Do you understand that?
Well, yeah.
So now I'm going to, we talked for a very long time. Now they, especially my sister-in-law, vehemently disagreed with most of everything I said, but I was able to tell them the truth and I knew I did it in love. I didn't get angry, you know, or upset, but I looked at them with compassion and true love. Mm-hmm. And I spoke the truth, you know? So Jeremiah was in the same spot, probably a much worse spot than me by far, you know? He was sent to the children of Israel who had backslid so badly, you know? They pretty much all of them have just turned from the Lord and turned to other gods and just doing despicable things, you know? And he had to stand up in front of all of them and basically rebuke them, you know? But he did it out of compassion. Right? He, from his heart, out of compassion, he spoke to the people of Israel. So for Jeremiah to tell the people to seek God with their whole hearts, is the fill-in, whole hearts, he had to have experienced that which he was telling them to do. So Jeremiah 29:13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
Yes.
God doesn't want us to have a split heart, you know, where our half our heart's over here and, well, this is for me, God. I give you part of this over here, but, you know, so you should be happy with that, right? And really, God wants all of us,
yes,
every
does.
Part of us, you know, our whole heart. And a lot of times we're like, well, where's God? You know, when I needed them. But, well, it's a lot of times we don't even look or even think about God, you know, until we run into a situation when we need him.
Yeah.
And then we're like, Well, where's God in this situation? Why did he allow this to happen when we were just running off in the wrong direction? When God was going after us the whole time, don't do that. Don't go that way. You know? So he wants our whole hearts.
Amen.
So next is God developed a balance of unbending conviction with godly compassion in him. Jeremiah 1:18. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze, walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. So God was describing Jeremiah that he has made him to be this. So no matter what he did and what he said and how angry the kings, the priests, and all the people got, that God had promised that he would not be moved and he would not be harmed, that God would protect him in every way and every side. And he did.
Yeah.
That was his promise. And God came through. So he was able to stand boldly, at least with confidence, knowing that God was going to protect and keep him, you know. But then he also spoke with compassion. Let's look at Jeremiah 9:1. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Wow. His heart was for Israel. It wasn't like he hated them. He actually cared about them, you know? He was telling them, stop doing these things, because if you don't, judgment's going to come. Sure. I don't want you to be judged. I don't want you to be harmed. You know, please listen.
Yeah.
I don't want this to happen to you, you know? That's what we do to the people of this world. Guys, I'm not trying to be mean. I actually care about you. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to receive Jesus and go to heaven. And not only that, God is so good.
Yes.
When you finally discover him, you will see how good he is. How loving and kind and faithful and just out and out generous he is in this life. You know, we're not trying to be mean. We're trying to be loving. We're trying to show you something that will change your life. Don't go this way. What you're doing is harmful, right? A lot of people are like, oh, you're so mean, talking about against, you know, being gay and lesbian and transgender. No, the reason it's sin is because it's harmful to them and to all who love them. If God says it's sin, well, it's sin. It's bad. And I've come to believe what sin is this, basically. God created us, and he knows what would be bad for us. And that's what he calls sin.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why it's bad. It's like a mother coming in and say, son, don't touch the stove. It's hot. It'll burn you. But you don't have the understanding, and you're having to grab him and pull him away. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know? Well, that's what God is saying. Don't do that. You're going to get burned. You're going to get hurt. It's not he's trying to deprive.
Right.
The other part of sin is not putting him where he deserves to be, and that's God Almighty.
Yeah.
Our Lord and our Savior, and we should fear and revere him. That's the other part of it. When we don't do that, what he deserves, then that's the other part of sin. All right? If you'll add to your notes, Luke 13:34. And this is Jesus saying, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. Jesus was looking from a hill over Jerusalem and he was weeping.
That's right.
His heart was completely broken that he had come to try to save them. And he wanted to gather them to him, but they would not. You know? Jesus, from his heart, a heart of compassion, was just in tears, crying over Jerusalem, the people he came to save. That's our Jesus, and he cries for us too.
Yeah.
Amen? So next is, in the midst of suffering and stress, he was emotionally balanced and could express real joy, is the fill-in. So Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. True joy comes from knowing God.
Right.
And being in his plan and in working out his purposes. You know? A lot of times it's not just by doing what's right and trying to stay away from sin. It's actually also doing, you know, what God is asking us to do. You know, Jesus said this, and it baffled me for a while. He goes, you know, you have to lose your life to gain your life. And I'm like, huh? Because to me, it seems like it's up. But you know what? If we choose to live our life the way we want to, we get a certain kind of life. But if we choose to live our lives to the way God would have us to go to live our lives, then it's going to be the best life we could possibly have.
Right.
You know, it'll be a life that at the end we can look back and go, you know what? I am so glad I followed you. Look what you have done through me. This is
yes.
completely awesome. And those who have chosen to follow after him, to say, no, you know what? I'm not going to do my will. I'm going to follow after God with all my heart. And then all of a sudden you start seeing how wonderful it is, how joyful it is, you know? To be a part of praying for people and them getting healed, or sharing with them and getting them, praying with them to get them, and they're getting saved, you know? My gosh, there's nothing more joyous in this world than that, you know? I like going around and kicking the devil's butt.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? Seeing people healed, backs healed. And, you know, when we went out and, you know, to the homeless, you know, this guy's back, he couldn't even get up. His back got healed. Another person with his foot, you know, he couldn't hardly walk on it. It's at level 9, almost ready. There's nothing they can do, so I don't go to the hospital. But my gosh, if they could do something, I'd go to the hospital. And then God healed him, you know. That is true joy.
Amen.
That you could feed off of that for a long time. So the next says, he had to be broken of the natural tendency for self-pity, which would quench the flow of God. So that fill-in is self-pity. Jeremiah 20:9. So then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Well, you could imagine, every time he went before the king or the priest, he was getting scolded. He was getting ridiculed. We've been there. We all get, like, tired of this. Like, oh, my gosh, I'm not doing this anymore. I am so sick of what these people are saying and trying to do to me, you know? But the thing is I believe God turned up the fire, was compassion.
Yeah.
He couldn't hold back any longer, you know? Though he himself would perish, he would still rather perish than to hold it back and hold the message back from them, saying, you know, turn. Stop going the way you're going. God loves you. He doesn't want to do these things to you. It's not like he wants to, but you've sinned, then, well, consequences happen, you know? And that's why. So sometimes, though, we get there, you know? We go through something, and all of a sudden, we're just kind of just at home going, woe is me. Like Eeyore, oh, me, nothing goes good for me, and, you know, oh my gosh, you know, and we need to get over that. We have to know and understand that, first of all, God loves us, and that God has great and wondrous plans for us.
Yeah, he does.
And if we can get out of that self-pity mode and just trust in him, he can do great and wonderful things with us and through us, and really have a joyous life. Now, the devil wants to magnify these things to where you can't get away from them, but you have to understand that's what he's trying to do, you know? Like, I know some people who are alone, you know, what the devil likes to magnify is loneliness. I'm so lonely. You know? You know, Adam, I don't believe, was lonely when God made Eve. God said he made Eve because he needed a helpmeet. God had plans and purposes for him, and he thought it would be better for him to have a wife to help him side to side, shoulder to shoulder, not because he was lonely. So when you start feeling that, it's because you're looking at the wrong thing. You need to be looking at God, his love and his plans for you, and they're good and they're great.
That's right.
You don't have to be lonely. It's like, oh, you know, you've been told you're going to be lonely. But that does not have to be. That's a lie.
That's right.
You can have a full life. Life and life abundantly without having a husband or a wife. When you're fully trusting and understanding that Jesus can be your all. So you don't have to be in pity of yourself or woe is me. You say, no, how great God is and how much he loves me. Keep your eyes on him. You know, when it says to magnify, we're actually making him bigger.
Yes.
You know, instead of making the problem or the what causes grief bigger, you know, we need to keep our eyes on him and magnify him.
Good.
Okay? Amen? All right, so next is he was effective because he could identify with the hurt of God's people. Jeremiah 8 and 21. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I'm mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. When punishment came, he was so sad. He was beside himself. He didn't want that to happen. You know, Paul said of himself, he goes, you know what? He would get so mad at the Jews because they were persecuting him. But he was even madder because they were trying to get people from turning away from grace to works, turning away from Christ to the law. And he was so upset, but he said also, I would die for them. I would die for them. And I know Jeremiah would do the same thing. Because it's not that he said these things because he hated them, but because he truly, truly loved them and had compassion upon them. And so we're going to add another scripture. It's Acts 7 and verse 60. And this is talking about Stephen, you know, when he was stoned. It says, then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Wow. Here's someone that spent a lot of time with Jesus. Because you know what? That's what Jesus did when he was dying on the cross. He was nailed to the cross. And he said, God, you know, Father, don't hold this to their account. Don't put this on them. They don't know what they're doing. He was praying for them. The very people that were spitting at him and cursing him and had nailed him to the cross, you know? And we could do the same thing if we had God's true compassion in us. No matter what someone says or does to us, we could still from our heart go, you know, God, don't put this to your account. Don't count this against them, Lord, you know? Help them. Help them come to see you and to know you. They need you.
Yeah.
You know? But my gosh. And one of the scriptures it talks about, and I love it and everything, it says that you know, Philip looked up and he saw heaven open and he saw Jesus standing.
Standing.
I believe he was standing and looking over and going, yay! I know he was so excited that, you know, even though he was about to die, he was having to deal with what he saw in his heart that he had compassion like he did upon the people. And that's what God wants to have in you.
Yes, sir.
He wants to have a fiery compassion that you speak in love no matter what. You know?
Amen.
Amen? Stephen is a pretty awesome guy. So number three, what place does emotion have in ministry? So Jesus demonstrated compassion for the shepherdless. Matthew 9 and 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Jesus moved because he had a deep, deep love for the people that he was sent for. And we are also sent. All those who are around you, your family, your friends, you, that's who you were sent to. The people that you're around in the market, the grocery store, you know, or you go to pay your bills or whatever, you were actually sent to them, you know. And we need to have compassion on them. We need to move in love. We need to seek every opportunity to speak, you know, and show the love of Christ.
Yes.
Just like Jesus had compassion. So let's see. We need to put ourselves in the place of the ones we're praying with. Matthew 18, 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it would be done for them by my Father in heaven. It's a powerful thing when you come and you bring a need to a fellow brother and sister or your husband or your wife. I think that's another reason why God put help beats, you know, with us. So you already got the two with you already. But the rest of you, if you're not, you don't have that help beat, then, well, you've got the church, your church family. And any one of us is ready to grab hold and not political in any way or count anything that you're thinking is causing you pain. It doesn't matter how small it is. It doesn't matter. We're ready to pray with you and feel with you and weep with you. You know? Now, we'll say a lot of times we go through things and we go, God, why did this happen? And I'll share something that God showed me one time. I was praying, and God showed me in a vision this huge pot. It was probably about yay big around and about this high, sort of like a big pottery pot, huge. And then from up high, water was coming down and filling the pot. Now, the pot was full, but no matter how much the water ran, it never overflowed. So I'm looking at it, and I'm wondering, what is this? And then all of a sudden, I saw a hand with a piece of lumber, and he welled back as hard as he could, and he whacked it. And then a crack happened, and a little bit of the water started coming out. And then he went to the other side and whacked it with all his might, and then there was another crack. And then he did it again, and he did it again, and he did it again. There was all these cracks, and the water started coming out all through these cracks. Now, the water kept flowing, but the pot never overflowed. But from the cracks, the water flowed. And I said, what is this? He goes, well, I use crack pots.
That's a direct word for you, right?
Yeah. See, the things, the devil comes with things in our life, and he lays a hurting on us. But you know, when those cracks that are happened in our lives allows that the love and the compassion of God to flow on others who are maybe dealing with the same thing. So why did you go through that? So you could have true compassion. Because when you're talking with someone and you've had to go through that yourself, because you have true loving compassion, there is a power that just pours out of you, a life that comes out of you for that person, and they feel it. They feel it.
Yeah.
So we're all crackpots. So the spirit of intercession is the next fill-in. Brings us into direct emotional involvement with a problem of another. Isaiah 66 and 8. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. You know, some people are going through things in their life that might be be as bad as being in labor. And of course, I've never been in labor, but I've seen my wife labor. It was horrible. I was freaked out when she was in labor, I tell you, because here's someone I loved, and I couldn't do anything to help her, you know? But I was there as best I could be, holding her hand, you know, telling her how I love her and that she could do this. Because I couldn't. I mean, what else could I do, you know? So, you know, sometimes people are going through things, and it might take a little bit, but you know what? We need to be ready to stand with them and hold their hand and love on them through the whole thing. And eventually they'll get through it, you know, and then the joy comes when they're done with it, you know, whatever it might be. But it'll pass eventually, and then you'll be able to rejoice with them.
Amen.
Even though you stood with them and you had to weep with them at the time. Compassion. A deep love from your heart is what God wants. He wants us to have compassion like Jesus had compassion. Jesus moved out of compassion. And that's what we need to do too. We need to look at people and go, you know what? God loves them and I love them too. Therefore, I'm going to speak no matter how uncomfortable I might be at the time. But praise God, when we do it, we really step out, we can see God's glory. See him move and meet people's needs, whatever they might be, in Jesus' name, you know? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
How many are glad that you don't have to be like Jeremiah, right? He was all alone. Tell the person next to you, you're not alone. You got a whole church standing with you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are standing with you. Y'all come on down. Praise God. Amen. We need to hear a word like that every so often.